Praise God. We're going to open our Bibles this morning. We will sing a chorus, Keep On Walking by Faith, because I'll tell you what, that's exactly what I'm doing right now is walking by faith. But we are going to be opening to Daniel, Book of Daniel, in chapter 5. And before we do that, let's sing the chorus, Keep On Walking by Faith. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Once more. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Give the Lord a hand praise today. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 We are in Daniel chapter 5, and we're going to call this message, a little bit unusual title. Of course, a lot of my titles are, but we're going to call this God's Penmanship. We all know what penmanship is. That's when they try to teach us how to write in school. Remember penmanship classes? Remember the teacher looking over your shoulder and saying, no, 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 do it right. And I don't know how doctors ever made it through penmanship. They write like they've got, every one of them, they write like they've got cerebral palsy. Did you ever notice that? I mean, they're all over the map with this thing. You couldn't possibly read anything they write. I just wonder sometimes. Maybe that's why so many people are getting wrong prescriptions. But anyway, we know that God wrote. Now, I understand the whole Scripture is written by God, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But I'm talking about God writing Himself with His own hand. There are three times, I think, that we can find that in the Scripture. You go back to Exodus 20, and you see that God wrote the Ten Commandments in stone with His own finger. Amen. That's how serious He was about it. He put them in stone. That's what they ought to do with our Constitution, put that in stone. Things keep changing. But anyway, God wrote in stone the Ten Commandments. And you know, He wrote again when He indwelt the body of Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus is God. God, very God. Amen. He's the same one that wrote at Sinai. This time He wrote on the ground and put to shame all of the accusers of the woman taken in adultery. One by one, they walked away as Jesus wrote in the dirt. But there's one other time that God wrote that we're going to look at today, because I think it pertains very directly to us, not only as individuals, but as a nation. We're going to look at this chapter and look at Babylon, and I think you already know how I feel about what has happened to our country. Do I love my country? Oh, yes, but I don't love what they've done to it. And it has become something other than what it once was. Those of you who are old enough to remember how it was, is this the country you were born in? It's different now, isn't it? Something happened. And there is a spirit of Babylon that came in. I don't know if I'm going to preach or I'm going to teach or what I'm going to do yet. Depends on how the Lord moves upon me for this. But we're going to look at something very, very carefully. In Daniel chapter 5, Belshazzar, it's quite a name, isn't it? Belshazzar was the king. He was actually the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, the one who besieged Jerusalem and carried all the vessels of the temple off and pillaged and plundered the city. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords. That's a pretty good bunch of people, isn't it? 1,000 lords. And drank wine before the 1,000. He was a big shot, wasn't he? These were 1,000 men in high position. And he's drinking wine. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels. Boy, they never leave well enough alone, do they? Not only did he have all the idolatry around there, the idols of Babylon, but now he wanted the vessels from the temple of God so that he could defile them, drink a toast unto his pagan gods and goddesses out of the vessels that were in the temple of God. See, they always have to desecrate, don't they? Do you think there's any desecration going on today? Any blasphemy? See, that's the order of the day, isn't it? In fact, if you read in Revelation chapter 13, what is the name written on the head of that beast that rises up out of the sea? The name's a blasphemy. They've got to insult God. They've got to curse God. It isn't enough that they just do their own thing. They have to insult heaven and raise their fist unto the Almighty in defiance. This is precisely what he was doing here. He was making a big joke out of it. We're not going to just use our Babylonian cups. Let's use the Lord's cups. Let's use those vessels. And so he commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines, drank in them. Do you ever wonder why these kings were so ornery? For one thing, they had too many wives and concubines. God meant for you to have one wife, you know? And anytime you read about more than one, you find trouble. Now, I don't have to try and convince you of that, do I? It's right in the scripture, okay? They drank wine and praised the gods of gold. I think there's people doing that today. Let's see, gold's up to what, $1,000 an ounce now? Just jumped up again. You know what that tells me? Our dollar is cooked. On the world market, our dollar. And how did that happen? That's part of the change package that you got when you got Barack Obama. So they praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. Everything that's inanimate, everything that's lifeless, they praised. But they would not acknowledge the living God except to insult him. I see a pattern here. And I think this is going on in our nation today. Right now. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand. Now try to put yourself back there. Here you are, Belshazzar's palace. Big party going on, big wild time, celebration. All the riches of Babylon, they had it made. Why, they had a city that could not be taken. The walls were so high and thick. You could ride, according to historians, you could have six chariots side by side right across the top of the walls. No way could you get through and destroy that city about the size of Milwaukee. That's a big city. Oh, incidentally, we do have some baptisms later that I didn't know about. I'm glad for them. So if you hear some water running, we're filling the baptistry from time to time with hopefully hot water. Okay? Anyway, in verse 5 it says, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand. Boy, that'll interrupt a party, wouldn't it? Here's fingers of a hand with nothing attached. Writing on the wall. I guarantee you, if that happened, everybody would look. That would arrest your attention, would it not? And wrote over against the candlestick, meaning opposite side of where the light was, upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Now, what's the king's reaction? He'd been drinking wine. He took the Lord's vessel, started drinking wine. As soon as he took a drink out of the Lord's vessel, praising his gods of silver and gold, this hand appears and starts writing. What's his reaction? Then the king's countenance was changed. Nothing like something like that to wipe a smile off your face. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him. How much so? So that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. Now that's what you call getting nervous. That's sheer fright. When your knees involuntarily start knocking together. They had a situation here. Something was going on. He suddenly lost control of his ability to think straight. And he was shaken with fear. The king cried aloud. What did he want? He wanted the astrologers, Chaldeans, soothsayers. He wanted to bring in the occultists so that they could interpret what was happening. You know what? I know we're in the middle of a message, but I'm going to ask somebody if they could get me just a little glass of water. I think it would help a lot. If anybody could give a volunteer. Thank you very much. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet. I'll dress him up in red. Just like a Catholic cardinal, right? Dress him up in red and have a chain of gold. Do you ever see these cardinals? They dress in red. They wear chains of gold. Chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Now he calls in all the occultists. Do you think that this sort of thing goes on in our country today? Are there any occultists in our government? Barack Obama's just a little bit upset. Thank you, John. Thank you very much. Now, President Obama, in fact, I hate to call him that, but we'll call him Barack, always watch out when you got a president who's got an uncle named Odinga. But anyway, Barack is a little bit upset now because word has leaked out that his mother-in-law is practicing Santeria in the White House. You know, where you light all the candles, and you call upon these, it's a mixture of Catholicism and paganism, which is quite an interesting thing because Catholicism is paganism. It's a strange mix, but they light candles, pray to the dead, work incantations, and one of the things they do when they practice Santeria, they have a whole string of votive candles. Sometimes a whole panel of them, they'll light one, and all of a sudden, whoom, they all light. Magic, you know? And then they start calling on, they got idols set up. Some are Roman Catholic, some are other. It's a mix. So we got that going on in the White House. Isn't it a dandy little thing? Obama didn't want that to leak out because he's already losing so much popularity that he doesn't want things like that to be known. That's why we tell it. Okay? Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing. Couldn't read the handwriting on the wall, just like people today. The handwriting's on the wall and they can't read it. They're lining people up to shoot them up with a vaccine that will potentially kill them or disable them. And they're voluntarily doing this. And in case they decide to not voluntarily do it, the National Guard is gearing up in a program to enforce that they do it. I mean, after all, it's America, right? Used to be. So all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. In a minute, we'll look at that writing. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled. I mean, the best of the best couldn't do it. He had his crack astrologers there, or cracked astrologers, whatever they were, and they couldn't read it. I got no use for astrology. I used to be an astrologer. I drew natal horoscopes. I read the horoscopes, all that. I was that dumb. Yes, I was involved in that. I have no use for astrology. I hate the stuff. People say, oh, when were you born? Oh, you're a Gemini. Gemini, the twins. And Leo, the lion. And Sagittarius, the archer. Aquarius, the water bearer. Pisces, the fish. Pistachio, the nut. Right? All these different signs of the zodiac. Oh, I know that one isn't official, but I added that one in because anybody who believes in it must be in that sign. But anyway, then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. They were absolutely stuck. They didn't know what to do. I mean, if this sort of thing was coming from one of their gods, certainly one of their own astrologers or soothsayers, Chaldeans, would be able to interpret what it was. This was out of their control, out of their realm. They didn't have it. It's amazing how much occultism is in Washington. Has anybody here ever heard of a Pell Grant for school? Go to college, get a Pell Grant. That's named for Senator Claiborne Pell from Rhode Island, who is now retired, might even be dead by now. If he is dead, now he knows better. But Senator Pell had on his staff paid psychics and astrologers in his office at all times working for him, paid for out of your taxes. How about that? Soothsayers in our government, so they could walk into the marble halls of the Capitol, the temple of Zeus. Folks, we have to look at things the way they are and look at them in the light of the Scripture. Things that are happening in our country are not just happening to happen. Somebody wants them to happen. There is an evil force at work. Evil forces have temples. They have worship. They have a system of, I call it disorder, but they have a system they work with. And they must manipulate people through ignorance. Ignorance is their friend. The fact that most people don't listen or won't listen is a great benefit to them. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Well, he wasn't going to. That was just a nice thing to say. It was better than saying, O king, drop dead. See, quite the opposite. It was like a compliment. Live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. Nothing like the comfort of a woman, huh? Don't worry, dear. It'll be all right. Live forever. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. Hey, gods? There's only one God. We need to all get that straight. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body, one spirit. God is one. I am that I am. And when they came to take Jesus, he said, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am he. He's the same I am, but he's wearing a body this time instead of a burning bush. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding. Now, father here is a term used for father, grandfather, any ancestor. In this case, it was his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar. Light and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. That's a title Daniel didn't want. But notice they had forgotten about Daniel. Belshazzar never thought of him. The queen came along and said, Hey, there's this guy named Daniel. See, they'd forgotten him. So they got him out of the mothballs and they wanted to see what he would say. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts, were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake, and said unto Daniel, Art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee. Well, they have that plural trouble, don't they? Gods. And that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men and the astrologers have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing, and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet. I can dress you up in red, Daniel. And have a chain of gold about thy neck. And shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. He was a man so close to God that none of that meant anything to him. In fact, it was repulsive to him. How would you like to be dressed up in red? Be number three in the country and have a gold chain around your neck. That's asking for trouble. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself. Keep it. I don't want it. How many of the other guys would have said that? They were jumping all over wanting that. Here's somebody declined the whole thing. Thank God when people are filled with His Spirit and they just say no to this world. We don't want what this world's got or what this world can offer. Give thy rewards to another, yet... Oh, by the way, did you ever notice how they like to hand out awards to each other? All these people? They're always handing out titles and awards and fellowships and honors and accolades. Well, I think that's from their Masonic training, you know. They like those fancy titles. You know, the Supreme... I'm just throwing this all together. Supreme, sublime ruler of this or that or the... You know, they love those titles. Prince of the Royal Secret and all that kind of stuff. They like to hand that around, pass glory around. They do that in Washington, they pass glory around. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew. Whom he would, he kept alive. And whom he would, he set up. And whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, again I say, take a look at that guy in the White House. Look at his face if you can, and you will see pride. He believes he is a gift to the world. When his mind was hardened in pride, and pride will harden the mind, the brain, hardness of the brain through pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him, and he was driven from the sons of men. And his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. What do we notice here? Here's Nebuchadnezzar. Remember the story? Is this not great Babylon that I have built? And God caused him to go insane. Nebuchadnezzar ended up out in the field and in the woods with the animals. Those poor animals. But he was better off. He had to learn something from the animals, didn't he? I said it before, I'll say it again. Animals have never given me any trouble. It's people. And professor would say, amen. You know, they've been doing a little reorganizing at our house and painting and so forth, trying to surprise us while we're gone. And we came back, and the kids are like to tease Shirley. She loves her piano, you know. And so professor's cage is right near the piano. He likes to listen to her play. And one of the kids were teasing her, and they said, well, let's see, we can move this around. Now, if you get rid of your piano. And professor spoke up and said, not right. He took care of that one right away, right on cue. Not right. Keep that piano. Anyway, every time she goes to play, he'll go over to his water dish and start splashing. He's excited, you know. I told her she should play Water Music by Handel. But anyway. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. You had all this information, and you would not humble yourself? Some people never learn, do they? But hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, that thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and of gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? You know, you couldn't lift one finger without God. You couldn't draw one breath without him. The Lord said through Jeremiah, my people have forgotten me days without number. But you know, and really it's religion that helps people forget about God. They get all involved in their religion and they forget about God. But here, he is being soundly admonished. Here he's worshiping everything inanimate. Remember what David said about these false gods? Eyes they have, but they see not. Ears they hear not. A mouth they speak not, and all that. And he went on and said, they that make them are like unto them. If they can get you worshiping idols, you won't be able to think clearly. You won't be able to see things as they are. You won't be able to function normally. Again, I say the very condition of our nation today. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. Watch this. This is the writing that was written. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. What is God writing? Now, Mene, well, let's read the next couple verses first. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. God determines the longevity of a kingdom. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, which is also a contracted form of Upharsin, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. What's the pattern here? Let's look at it. Mene, Mene. Now, the Mene was actually from the word Mina in the Chaldean language and means 50 shekels. I know you're used to hearing shekel, but it's really shekel. For it to be shekel, you'd have to have a double consonant to soften the preceding vowel sound. Remember from your English? So it's actually shekel. 50 shekels. That's what God wrote on the wall. 50 shekels. When taken as a noun. But you see, if you take this as a verb, it means to number. Then tekel is one shekel when taken as a noun. But when you take it as a verb, it means to weigh. Eupharsin, or peres, means a half shekel. Taken as a noun. But if you take it as a verb, it means to divide. That's why they couldn't interpret it. They knew what the words meant, but they couldn't understand what God was saying. I can see what he was saying. You got 50, and 50 was an interesting number in Babylon. As a matter of fact, modern-day Baghdad is located 50 miles north of where the original Hanging Gardens and city of Babylon was. The ruins are 50 miles south of Baghdad. In the Babylonian army, you were required to do combat in the army until age 50. There were basically, and this I know different expositors, it varied from time to time, but there were basically 50 different divisions of provinces in the Babylonian Empire. On the ceiling of Nebuchadnezzar's temple, are you ready for this? On the ceiling of his temple were 50 stars, white stars on a blue field. How about the Blue Lodge, John? Oh, it was all there, wasn't it? 50. One. The division of one. Almost looks like an e pluribus unum. What do we have written on our money? E pluribus unum, Latin. From many we have one. 50 down to one, and then division. Cut in half. Given over to the enemy. Do you see the economic stress that this nation is under right now? How many states do we have in our union? 50. 50. Meaning. 50. 50. Brought down to one, what are they trying to do? They're trying to bring about a one world currency, aren't they? E pluribus, from plural, from many, down to one. And then comes the great division. It's cut in half, destroyed, and given to the enemy. Notice what he's saying here. It's amazing what you find in the Bible, isn't it? So he says, this is the interpretation of the thing. Meaning, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. And I believe the handwriting is on the wall for the United States. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. There's a deficit, isn't there? You weigh this whole thing into balances, is there a deficit somewhere? Is there an emptiness? A hollowness? Perez, thy kingdom is divided. Do you see this country coming apart at the seams? Have foreign armies entered? Have foreign enterprises come in and taken over? I nearly fell out of my chair yesterday. No, and I wasn't even dizzy. I want to show you something. I'll show you all of this first. Now, this isn't the first thing I'm showing here didn't really make me fall out of my chair. The last thing I will show you did. This is actually good. Now, Obama, according to Associated Press, on Tuesday is planning to make a speech. to all the students in all the schools all at the same time. And schools all over the United States said, we're not going to watch it. The entire state of Texas said, we're tuning you out, Obama. These are the schools. Even in liberal Wisconsin, schools are refusing to let him talk. All over the United States, they're saying, just butt out. Isn't that great? He's losing something here. He thought everybody, this is, you know, Der Führer is going to make a speech and people don't want to listen? See, they're beginning to see that he's being invasive. Big Brother comes on the tube for everybody to listen to at the same time. They know students are impressionable. Some schools are going to carry it, but there are a lot of them that will not. And the White House is hopping mad about it. Praise the Lord. Keep praying. But we have another little thing going on here. The year 2010 is a year of census, where they go around counting not only heads, but how many rooms do you have in your house? How many bathrooms? What time do you leave for work? What time do you come home? What route do you take for work? All these invasive questions. To make sure the census is properly counted, they have recruited the U.S. Census Department through the White House, through Rahm Emanuel. That Rahm is always trying to Rahm something down your throat. They have solicited the help of every student in every public school to make sure that their family is properly counted. This has never happened before. Every student becomes a census taker. That's a little thing from USA Today. Bloomberg News Service, of course, owned by the current mayor of New York City, Michael Bloomberg, but Bloomberg News Service is a well-known news agency. And they have a writer here. I don't know how long she'll have her job. But she wrote an article saying, Obama may need a sense of crisis to revive the health care overhaul. In other words, people aren't going to buy into this thing unless there is a severe emergency. And if you don't have one, you make one. You have to produce, as she says here, a sense of crisis. Yeah, there are things going on here in latter-day Babylon. But here is what made me almost fall out of my chair. And I didn't find this in any American news media. I had to go to Red China to get this one. Red China says, this is from the China Daily in Beijing. And they're all excited about it over there. China's national flag to go up in White House on September 20th. On the south lawn of the White House, they're going to raise the red China communist flag by permission of Barack Obama and the White House. September 20th. Joe McCarthy would have said, I told you so. Of course, they vilified him, didn't they? There it is. And actually, the story is rather interesting. The national flag of the People's Republic of China, PRC, will be hoisted at the south lawn of the White House in Washington on September 20th, media reported Sunday. Chinese associations in the United States had applied to hold a ceremony in front of the U.S. President's residence to celebrate the 60th anniversary of the founding of the PRC, which, of course, is Red Communist China, their flag flying at our White House. Is that a sign? Are they making a statement that we have taken over? What does this flag stand for? Mandatory abortion. Of course, Obama has no problem with that. I've been telling people for years, we're already a communist country. Well, now they're going to fly the flag at the White House. In Daniel chapter 5, we read about a kingdom being numbered, weighed and finished, divided. And so they're going to have 1,000 red Chinese there in ceremony on the south lawn of the White House raising the red communist flag. MacArthur's dead. George Patton is dead. All these people who fought so hard, they're all gone now. Some of you don't even remember their names probably. Scott McLeod, Otepka, all these guys that warned us. John, you remember some of them. They warned us there's going to be a communist takeover. On the 20th of September, the flag goes up. In ceremony at the White House. Well, we've had their Chinese junk being peddled by Walmart and all these other places for so long. You could tell most people about this. This horrifies me. You could tell most people about this. Oh, well, you know. So what? What's it going to take? What will it take before people will wake up? And so the Word of God tells us then, they went ahead and tried to decorate Daniel up anyway. But that night, it tells us, as you read the rest of this, it tells us that Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was slain and Darius the Median took the kingdom. That was the last straw. They insulted God one time too many. The kingdom fell. Foreigners came in and took over. Do you see the pattern developing from 50 down to 1 down to division? God told us in no uncertain terms. Now, let's take a moment and go back to Isaiah for just a short time. I don't have much time left. All right, we're fine here. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for these baptisms. That's what this is all about. We love to see people respond to the gospel. These dear folks from Pennsylvania are here to get baptized. They didn't even know they were coming, but I'm certainly glad they're here. Amen. Praise the Lord. In Isaiah 64, I feel the heartbeat of the prophet. When he looked at all the things that are going on, and I confess to you, it makes me sick to think of these little children in the schools lined up to get stuck with that needle and have that stuff shot into them. We're talking about poisons. And it's not even ambiguous that they are poisons. They are toxins. There are viruses in this stuff. There is mercury in this. I heard on the radio this morning that the odds of your child being autistic is 1 in 157. Autism was a rare occurrence. But when you're going to shoot mercury into little babies and little children, along with all the other contaminants that are growing in the blood of sick animals and their organs and made into a vaccine, it is murder by injection in the first degree. Right. Lethal injection. And the price will be paid, but God help us to get the word out. some people are responding. I'm hearing more and more. Did you know that in Britain, 50% of the doctors are saying, we won't touch it? And over here, oh, we need this. Oh, it's going to help us all. We're from the government. We're here to help you. We want you to be comfortable. We don't want you to get sick. Well, they told you, didn't they? Remember Bill Clinton with his health care plan that fizzled out? Hillary was up there all dolled up like Jezebel, smiling at everybody. Pearly whites, remember that? Years back there when they first brought that out? And Bill got up and said, started naming all this stuff. He says, we got you covered. Always two fingers, covered, you're covered, you're covered, you're covered. Remember that? And then he went on and said, from the cradle to the grave, you're covered. They can't cover you in the cradle and kill you, they'll cover you in the grave, but... What chance do people have anymore with these injections and then the fast food places? The reason they call it fast food is because it speeds you to the grave. What chance do people have anymore? We sure need the Lord's help. And so I feel the impulse of the heartbeat of the prophet when he says in Isaiah 64, he says, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down. What is the church supposed to be saying? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The Spirit and the bride say, come. I'm telling you, I am seriously rattled about that Chinese flag going up. I am really rattled. I wish everybody, and I don't know if it'll do any good or not, but I wish everybody would get on the phone and start making phone calls saying, what is this outrage? And you don't read about it over here. It's in the Chinese newspaper. They're all excited. All of a sudden the flag goes up. Boy, if I was well enough to do it, I think I'd like to go over there to Washington and stand right there and rebuke it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, and the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence.
Amen.
And it will happen. Isaiah was crying out. See how he says, oh, Lord, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down. Notice, you got people talking about the coming of the Lord. See, a lot of people will talk about a pre-tribulation rapture because they figure that's their little ticket out.
That's right.
They say, well, we don't want to hear about prophecy. We're not going to be here to experience it anyway.
Well,
don't tell us about it. We're going up, 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 up. We're not going to see any of this. What do you think they're seeing right now?
Amen.
It's beginning, folks. It's getting started. And so what are they looking for? Their clothes to drop to the floor while they're carried on flowery beds of ease up through the clouds to sit at a banquet table and pig out for 7 years. They call it the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'll tell you when the marriage supper of the Lamb is. Every time you get together and you get in the Word of God and God feeds you, what do you think the word Lord means? The word Lord literally means the giver of bread or provider of bread. When thou didst... Notice this now. What are they looking for? They're looking for a trumpet to sound and never see one little thing of evil. total mollycoddling by the Lord. Oh, you dear, sweet, wonderful people, with all of you, you know, you're having such wonderful services here. I just love your gospel magicians and your rock bands and your puppeteers. And one church, they had puppets doing a puppet show, and one puppet would speak in tongues and the other puppet would interpret. Talk about blaspheming the Holy Ghost. So notice when God comes again, what happens? When thou didst terrible things. That's what happens with the coming of the Lord. Terrible things, which we looked not for. We weren't looking for that, Lord. We thought we were going to get zapped out of here. We weren't looking for that. Things we looked not for. For thou camest down. The mountains flowed down at thy presence. Now he's prophesying. Volcanoes, mountains melting, volcanoes running down into the sea. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear. Neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth. Oh, I'm telling you. And worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth. For we have sinned. In those is continuance, and we shall be saved. You hear people running around saying, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Come on. For we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Yes, the seas are going to boil. God is going to show terrible things that people look not for. When they talk about the coming of the Lord, do they know what they're talking about? Or are things going to happen that they weren't looking for? Now I understand that before the final great wrath is poured out at the end, yes, the Lord does take us. The angels gather us. And we're gathered unto Him. Before the final, last devastation of the plagues of God. But up until then, there's a whole lot of things that happen. And we are beginning to experience those things. And people are in some kind of a death sleep lethargy. And I'm just overwhelmed. I'm stunned at what I'm seeing. How can anybody shrug off all of the signs of God? I never thought I would see the day when the flag of Communist China would fly at the White House. But it's scheduled for the 20th day of this month. I think every minister and every church ought to tell it, but they won't. Well, some might if they knew. But we're at the point right now where we're going to have to dig these things out. Now, they'll probably televise it as it's happening. But I don't know that either. Yeah. Then where do you go from there? But suffice it to say, as I bring this to a close this morning, that the words we read in Daniel very much apply to our nation today. That number 50 is no coincidence. God wrote it on the wall. 50. 1. and one half. In other words, it's measured out, it's counted, it's weighed using the verbs, and it's divided. 50 states, e pluribus unum. These things are all over in the Word of God. The Lord put them in there for us to find. That's why he said to pray. When you pray, you find these things. God reveals them. I can tell you this in closing right now, that it is time for all of us to get closer to God than we've ever been before. There is a cause to fight for. We people must come fully awake right now before it's forever too late. And the people of God, all of us, we need the exposure to heaven. We need to be revived. We need to come alive in the Holy Ghost. All of us. And now we're going to pray and ask God to help us. Father in heaven, O Lord, we look to thee right now, appealing to thy tender mercies, and appealing to thee, O Lord, as our God and King, our Savior, that thou wouldst help us to draw close to thee, that we would hear thy voice, feel the impulse of thy Spirit, and the power of thy Word, that we would be sent forth to do thy will, to reach out to thee, O God, at all times, and then to move within thy will to reach those that need to hear. Help us to be effective, O God, and to do everything we possibly can to reach out and to let people know the lateness of the hour and that they need to repent and call upon thee. Lord, use us, I pray, use us mightily. We ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Give us victory. But Lord, I also pray that thou wouldst rebuke these forces in this country, that those that desire to do these things would be brought down, that this would be exposed, O God. Rebuke those murderers, O Lord, that are trying to destroy through their vaccines and all these things, these many projects that are going on. O God, come down quickly and do a great work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.